This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
As we welcome in Matt George from the Locked On Kings podcast, he's live at ABC 10. I've gotten a heads up on this. Matt, go ahead. Spend the next 20 minutes pissing me off.
Huh?
Your podcast.
Pissing you off.
Your podcast.
Oh, yes.
That
yes,
is
yes.
out or is about to drop?
No, the podcast is out. So I did about a couple weeks ago.
Let me set the scene real quick for people tuning in. For those who weren't here, we opened the show talking about Russell Westbrook and the Kings and some things Jake Fisher said. Mm-hmm. Matt immediately texts me, "You're going to love this. I just did a podcast on Russell Westbrook," and then immediately follows up, "You're not going to like what I had to say."
Oh, no.
Well, it's not so much me, and Russell Westbrook was only a part of the podcast, but I mean, I always live to piss off Damian Barling. It's like a goal of mine.
Great at it.
But I I put together a couple weeks ago a fan survey, a Kings fan survey, where there's a list of questions for them to answer just about their optimism levels towards the Kings season, the moves that they've made. And one of the questions on there was, simple yes or no question, do you want the Sacramento Kings to sign Russell Westbrook? And nearly 400 fans weighed in. And Damon, you'll be happy to know that initially it was overwhelmingly no, and then it only became slightly overwhelmingly no. But still, the majority of Sacramento Kings fans of the 400, a very small portion of Kings fandom that weighed in on this, is actively against the idea of your boy suiting up and playing for the Sacramento Kings. So.
Can I tell you what matters more than that to me, Matt? Me. And my happiness. That's what matters more to me. Matt, I get it. I understand.
When I was breaking it down on the podcast, though, it's funny. It's not the exact same thing, but like I equate it in similar ways to when Vince Carter was here. Like it was fun. And I would, there would be part of me that would be very intrigued about Russell Westbrook. One, what does he look like in a Kings jersey, and how fast does that sell at the Kings team store? Mm-hmm. I do believe that Scott Perry and the Kings would look at Russ as a little more impactful for the team than Vince Carter was, at a time where the Sacramento Kings weren't any good anyway. And Vince was just kind of on his retirement tour and gave us some fun moments. But I was a little surprised by how overwhelmingly against Russell Westbrook the fans who weighed in were. But I do believe that they are looking at that move, or a Russell Westbrook move, through the lens of everything else involved. And I think no matter what the Kings did, Russell Westbrook, Dennis Schroeder, whoever, there was always going to be kind of a negative feeling about it as a result of the Kings not extending Keon Ellis. So no matter what, because they essentially did what they did with Keon to free up the money to be able to make these other moves. So all those other moves are going to be judged through that lens. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how much that weighs into the Russell Westbrook thing, but I think a lot of people here in Sacramento are not too keen on the idea of Russ in a Kings jersey, and Scott Perry might not care.
What do you think about Russ potentially in a Kings jersey?
I would look at it the same way I look at this roster. I'm intrigued I don't know if it's going to be good, but I'm interested. I'm going to be entertained selfishly from a media standpoint. I know I'm going to get sound bites and I know I'm going to get moments. I might get even cussed at or stared at one point or two during
it. It happens a lot to you.
Well, I mean, just add Russ to the list.
Do you know how hard you have to work to piss off Doug Christie? I think you did it like three times at the end of the year last year.
To be fair, Doug Christie was mad, I think, at everybody and everything.
I think you're right.
Circumstances that he was going through, and I don't necessarily blame him. I would be very intrigued by Russell here in Sacramento. I think the leadership and the fire is something that this organization has solely missed. But if Mike Brown's voice got old, and I mean, there's a video that came out of Doug Christie saying the Kings Twitter caught a hold of Doug saying, like, you better be used to playing physical. And if not, then you're going to come out of the game. And we love hearing those words from Doug, but do those words get old quickly for this roster that's not known for the defensive end? So I just want to see vocal, noticeable leadership that sticks and that's respected long term and isn't poo-pooed or turned on after a couple weeks of losing or half of a bad season or the turmoil that I believe this organization is going to go through over the next 9 months.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think they're going to go through turmoil?
Because I just don't think this team is well built and cohesive. I think they're entertaining. Mm-hmm. I think there are going to be I said this on the podcast today. I think there are going to be a number of moments where the Golden One Center is rocking. Mm-hmm. Like, and I think back to Zach LaVine going crazy in the fourth quarter, DeMar DeRozan hitting some game winners, hopefully Keegan Murray having another takeover 3-point game or two, Keon Ellis playing some great defense. Like, I think the Kings will have some moments. Like, I posted a video that I know, Casey, you saw of just kind of a hype edit compilation of who Dennis Schroeder is kind of as a personality. And I think a lot of Kings fans are going to respond well to that. But as a whole, like, I think as many fun moments as we hopefully have, there are going to be moments where we're groaning and watching our TVs, and some people will be able to turn it off, and I unfortunately will not be able to, and there's just going to be those nights where, man, this really stinks. And if you're listening to the radio, you're going to hear sad or disappointed Gary Gerald, which is the worst thing you could possibly hear, how disappointed Gary gets when the Kings just make these mistakes. So to me, I'm not sold on the Kings being a good basketball team, but I am sold on them being entertaining.
G-Man's seen a lot of mistakes in his.
Yeah, poor G-Man. Hang in there, big dog.
I don't know that anyone has seen more bad basketball than Gary Gerald.
Hang in there, big dog. Hang in there. We've talked about this a number of different times during the offseason with you, Matt, but is there anything with this group here that might make you look at them a little different? Like, if you go to training camp and maybe some people are saying things that you weren't expecting, like in a positive way, like, hey, I'm here for the team. Do you think those type of things might change your expectations of the team, or it's just literally I have to see it happen to feel any different about this team?
Yeah, it comes down to the basketball for me, because all of the off-court connotations to a lot of these things are what makes it a negative. A perfect example of this is Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's numbers and offense is phenomenal. Like, the season that he had last year is excellent. But everything you look at when you're talking about Zach LaVine is through the lens of he's making almost $50 million per year. And that's hard to look past. Especially, and there's also the caveat of this is who you traded De'Aaron Fox for. None of which is Zach LaVine's fault. If anything, good on Zach. You got the bag. And you got to California where you've been trying to get to. But on the basketball court specifically, I'm excited about when Zach LaVine has his offensive moments, and hopefully it's consistent. I am still excited about DeMar DeRozan, and I'm not just excited, I'm desperate to the point of I'm going to be frustrated if I don't see on opening night a two-man game between DeMar and Sabonis and a two-man game between LaVine and Sabonis. For God's sakes, play together. Have your best players play together, because we just didn't see that enough this last season. And then, like, Neek Clifford, Maxime Raynal, I want to see what those guys look like. I think Neek Clifford is going to be a guy that's in the rotation opening night. I know there are people in that organization that feel he's ready for that. Maxime, a little bit more of a question mark. And then, of course, Keon and Keegan, what the next steps look like for him. I hope we get opportunities where Keegan is more featured on offense. So, Kenny, the basketball, when I walk into the Golden 1 Center on opening night or game 3 against the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm going to be excited for the basketball. But the storylines around the organization, the context of everything, and the direction of this organization is ultimately what has me going, yeah, I'm not a firm believer of the long-term or even short-term success of this group.
Do you think there's a move before camp starts?
I think the Kings would love to make multiple. I mean, from the newest reports that have come out today of the Malik Monk situation and trying to free up the money for Russell. Like, none of this is new. This is stuff that right. We've been talking about for months. It's all just a waiting game. It's the same thing with Jonathan Kuminga. These are all dominoes that are grouped together that will create a domino effect, not just for the Sacramento Kings, but the Golden State Warriors. Al Horford's sitting in the waiting room of the Golden or of the Chase Center, while Russell Westbrook is sitting in the waiting room of the Golden 1 Center, just waiting for this Jonathan Kuminga deal to go down, which would move Malik Monk, which would open up the money in the cap space to bring in Russell. What, like, it's just all a waiting game. I think the Sacramento Kings are eagerly trying to find something else to do. And as we get closer to September and then closer even to October and the deadlines for restricted free agents, and it becomes really critical crunch time for the Kuminga Warrior situation, I think we'll see things heat back up again. But in the meantime, it's just a waiting game right now. But I think the Kings absolutely would like to. I don't think if Scott Perry has his way, this roster is not done.
When it comes to Russell Westbrook specifically, what do you think holds more weight with being able to get a Westbrook deal done? Finalizing something with Kuminga or moving on from Malik Monk?
I heard you ask Damian this question earlier, and Damian had the right answer, yes. But I think it's Kuminga, because Kuminga is the only legitimate trade conversation that's been out there that's involved Malik Monk that hasn't just been talk. Like, the Kings have involved Malik Monk in numerous conversations over the course of this summer, and it's all kind of gone the same way. Well, Malik doesn't really have a market. And at first, I think that set off alarm bells for us, which is like, what's wrong with Malik? Is his contract really that bad? No, it just turns out the entire league is scared money right now. Like, this has just been that kind of offseason. So I don't think it reflects negatively on Malik. I think what reflects most negatively on Malik could also reflect negatively on the Kings. I think it's pretty clear that the Kings don't feel like Malik is part of the long-term plan. But I also think we have to take into account their financial situation, because there are three contracts in terms of annual salary that are bigger than Malik Monk's. Two of them are not movable in Domantas Sabonis and Zach LaVine. The other one is DeMar DeRozan, which is still tough to move at $24 million per year. And I've had every indication that the Sacramento Kings are not interested in moving DeMar DeRozan, that Scott Perry wants DeRozan here. So that makes Malik next in line, right, of the most likely contract to be moved. So it makes sense that the Kings are trying to move that $18 million to free up the space that they want to or that they need to make some of these other moves. But like I said, the league is scared money right now, and it's not just Malik's $18 million this year. It's the $20 million next year, and then the $21 or $22 million player option at the end of it that I think we all know Malik should take, because I don't think he's ever going to get that money again.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more with a donor advised fund from DAF Giving 360. They can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Who do you think blinks first in the, because the Kings are so tied to this, who do you think blinks first in the Kuminga Warrior situation?
Between the Kings and the Warriors?
I'm sorry, in the Kuminga Warrior situation.
Oof. I believe Kuminga, and maybe this is wishful thinking. Like, I believe Kuminga, when he says, like, I'm going to go qualifying offer then.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I believe him.
Yeah.
Normally I'd be like, okay, it's talk. And then we're going to get to look. I just think the Warriors have way more to lose than Kuminga does. And certainly both of them have way more to lose than the Kings do. So again, I think the Kings are a lawn chair, bag of popcorn, and just sitting here waiting for something to give between this tug of war between both sides. But sure, Kuminga optically maybe doesn't look the best if he takes the qualifying offer and then essentially doesn't play for the Warriors next year, and he is going to get criticism for that. But he's getting criticism for breathing at that point with everything that he does in the Bay and how he's been covered and talked about over the last year, if not more. So to me, again, the Golden State Warriors, who have a situation that they created, a title window that they need to try and maximize right now with an aging Steph Curry and an aging core, the reputation of completely blowing the two timeline thing. Like, I just think the Warriors, whether it's financially, wins and losses wise, and then of course the court of public opinion, they just have a lot more to lose. Mm-hmm. So they hold all the cards, sure, but the one card they don't hold is the card I think Kuminga is willing to play, and the pressure is on the Warriors to win here. So we'll see. But I believe Jonathan Kuminga I think he'll carry his threat out, and the Kings, I think, should be very excited about that.
I agree with you, Matt. I believe Kuminga when he says essentially my, you know, not being under the thumb of the Golden State Warriors is priority number one right now. And if I sign a different contract, or if I, you know, do something differently during these negotiations that lands me in the same predicament where they're in control of my future, I don't want any parts of it. Mm-hmm. The one where they're not necessarily in control of my future is if I sign that qualifying offer, and if that's what I have to do, that's what I'm going to do. I'm with you, Matt. I believe him when he says that. I think that is a big source of his frustration, how the Warriors have handled him during his career. And the fact that he can't move the way he wants to because they still have control over where he goes, I think he wants to be done with that. And that's priority number one for him.
And honestly, guys, I believe the Sacramento Kings are proceeding as if Jonathan Kuminga is not going to be a King. I think mm-hmm. they're proceeding as if that's the situation. It'll play out the way it plays out. They've put themselves in an excellent position to be a strong suitor for Kuminga to revisit these conversations. They already have a dollar figure in mind. Now, that could change depending upon circumstances, but there's already an established relationship between the Kings and Jonathan Kuminga that can be revisited any time. I'm not saying that's the strongest negotiation position if you're desperate or super eager to add Kuminga to your roster, but again, I don't think the Kings are either of those things. They view Kuminga as an opportunity. This has been the same way the entire time, no matter what Warriors fans try and say. The Kings are interested in Kuminga and the opportunity of acquiring Kuminga. The Kings are not a Kuminga away from getting where they want to go. They know it, so they're willing to kind of play this patient game. And there's no reason to believe Kuminga will be a King by the start of training camp. There's every reason to believe Malik Monk still will be. And the one thing that I think the Kings, and I think Kings fans, should hang their hats on a little bit when it comes to the Monk situation is We know how vocal Malik is. We know Malik's personality. We know he'll say what comes to mind. And I'm sure he feels a certain type of way about all this, and it's going to put a chip on his shoulder. So be it. But I do know for a fact that Malik Monk and Doug Christie have a very solid relationship. And I've been told firsthand that Malik has essentially told Doug, I will do what you need from me. So I'm not worried that this situation has caused any kind of significant fracture for the Kings, or that it'll be a distraction during training camp. If Kuminga is a King or Russell Westbrook is a King, great. And again, I think the Kings would like to try and do something like that. But as of right now, I think, like I said, over a month ago, Sacramento's content with where they're at going into the season. It's not what they want, but they're okay with it. It's not a disaster.
What player do you think is going to surprise you the most this upcoming training camp, maybe even this upcoming season?
Great question.
Thank you. I'm a broadcast journalist.
You are, and you're phenomenal at your job. Thanks for inviting me to your birthday party. This isn't my number one answer, but it's one of the first things that came to mind. I just wonder if Devin Carter gets another run as a point guard. And if we see it with the main roster, and if we see it with the main group as like a one last chance type thing, and hey, how have you grown and developed between summer league and now? I think we get a glimpse of that. I also think we get a glimpse of Neek Clifford as a point guard as well, hopefully during training camp and during preseason. I want to, hopefully the Kings will let the media in during some of their scrimmages when they're doing five on fives, because I want to see if Maxime Reyneau is doing what I want him to do, which is guarding DeMontis Sabonis and probably getting beat up a little bit by DeMontis Sabonis. But I think that's what he needs to learn and grow in that the center position with the physicality of the NBA. I don't expect big changes with this or noticeable changes with this, but I've heard things out of the Kings front office. We've been talking about it ad nauseum on this show, on Locked On Kings. The fan base has been talking about it. Keegan developing a voice. Keegan developing that attitude of, I'm a veteran now. I'm in year four. Get me the basketball. Feature me more. Get me more involved. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what does Keegan Murray look more like? Does he look more like a featured part of the offense, or does he look more like DeMar DeRozan, or excuse me, Harrison Barnes, where he's there and he's available and he might have good moments here or there, but we know more often than not he's a placeholder on offense rather than a feature.
That's interesting. I got my eye on Max, man.
Yeah.
I got my eye on Max.
That's a good one. Yeah. That's a good one. He's a bit of he's probably the biggest unknown. Whereas, I mean, obviously, Neek is too. I mean, well, this whole damn situation is unknown. But Max is like, maybe unknown isn't the right word. Maybe intriguing is a better word.
Yeah. I feel like Max, some of the things that he does really well on the offensive end, he can slide right into the NBA and be productive. His ability to shoot, finish around the rim with both hands. I think, and you playing with better players around you, playing with NBA guys around you as opposed to summer league guys, I think he can make some noise early. So I got my eye on him. I got my eye on Max.
And I mean, this is kind of a cop out too, because it's not one guy, but how deep is Doug Christie's rotation? And how clear does it become, one, the guys that he's confident in right away? Like, again, I would expect Neek Clifford to have a really, really good shot at being one of those eight or nine guys that's playing consistently to start the season. And then what are the lineups and what are the balances? Like, what always stood out to me with Mike Brown was when he subbed different guys in and out. He was very consistent with De'Aaron Fox was the first guy subbed out of the game every single night. So he could get Malik Monk in with the starters and then bring Fox back in later in the first quarter to have Monk and Fox run together. Okay, so who is Neek running with? Are you staggering LaVine and DeRozan, or are you featuring them on the floor together? What are Dennis Schroeder's minutes, and what are the minutes like when Dennis Schroeder comes out of the game at the point guard position? Like, I think Doug is going to do a lot of experimenting during preseason. I think it's going to be a fun experiment to watch and see. We're going to see pretty quickly, ooh, they don't work together, and oh, wow, there's something there.
Yeah. Give me that Max Domas lineup just a couple times during preseason.
Yeah, 100%.
Let me see what that looks like. Let's see what it's looking like.
Let me see what that looks like. Matt George, great stuff as always. Make sure you go listen to his Russell Westbrook hate-filled podcast.
Hold on. No.
Oh, no.
Don't do
my
that.
Mistake. Oh, don't you? Sorry. Go listen to the Locked On King podcast that features Russell Westbrook hate. Is that better?
No. It's a survey. And oh, I'm sorry. A fan base.
Go to the Locked On Kings podcast. Check out the results of Matt's stupid survey regarding Russell Westbrook and a variety of other topics. Of course, Locked On Kings should be a part of your regular Kings consumption, as should Matt's work over at ABC 10. Matt, we appreciate you as always.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.